हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा वीर्यविश्वावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 34. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 16, Spontaneous Devotion, further described. From Shloka 1, 2, 220, 293. Those qualified for Vaidhi Bhakti are dependent on the rules of scripture and favor use of logic until the appearance of Bhava Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada. We must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Braja, Vrindavan, is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. So Prabhupada's pointing out, we must always remember that. Because then Rupa Goswami is pointing out that from anartha nivriti, then one can try to, that aspect of spontaneous devotional service is there. But we see here, unless one is freed from material contamination. So you see that there's a preliminary level of that when we have that firm faith that only through devotional service we can be situated in. It means only by devotional service can you go beyond the material conditioning. And that whatever, and but the activities of devotional service already include the benefits of any other religious process. That then situates us in nishta. Right? So we go beyond the anartha nivriti in that stage because it's the prominence. But as pointed out by Srila Prabhupada, being situated nicely in nishta, right, then that's 75%, the anarthas have gone, still 25 are there. So then that would mean is that one has the aspect of being able to appreciate. In other words, one has that knowledge, one is able to appreciate the position of the residents of Braja. Right? But it's not until one's liberated, when it comes to Bhava Bhakti, that one's actually, you could say, freed from material contamination. Right? Mm-hmm. Then that's the full anartha nivriti. So that should always be kept in mind. Because otherwise, then, if this is not understood, then the process becomes cheapened. Now, says Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is the complete process or complete science of devotional service. That means all levels are going to be described. And by describing all levels, then we see what's there and we're inspired. We want to obtain these higher levels. We want to attain to Prema Bhakti. But at the same time, we have to be intelligent and understand which position we're at. Right? That's very important.
Mark,
yes.
We usually say that our position is not stable as such, because on some levels we're here, some other areas we're here.
Yes, but that's why it said 75. Then it's predominant. So you'll say that is there. You know, it's just like what you're wearing there, that's red. But this is also red. And then what she's wearing is red. You know, but it becomes lighter, call it pink, but it's still... You understand? It's the same thing. So it's just, when you come into here, what color are we working with? And we're talking about the general colors. You know, is it yellow, blue, or green? You know, so it'll be red. You know what I'm saying? So then we'll say that that's what it is. So until you come to the platform of prema, there's always going to be some little something there. That's why we make the distinctions of these levels. Because what's happening at these levels is then you can see more devotional, being more devotionally situated, right? One is engaged in, let's say, one has an interest in, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That'll situate you in one level of consciousness. Now, I can make that, I can raise the consciousness slightly by having an understanding of science and arts and all these things and technology and these, and I can raise it. It's still about sense, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, but there's a little bit more refined. I'm aware of a wider variety of things. But only when I see about the benefit of others within that, I'm able to accept a system of morality. Then it'll go to pranamoy. Right? Then within pranamoy, then if I accept that there can be a supreme, just because it'll make pranamoy work better, that'll be even a higher level. But it's still within pranamoy. But only when they actually accept that there's a supreme and are willing to follow the laws of the supreme, because we see is that what's the distinction between the two is the one is that God is limited by how much he assists the pranamoy platform of morality. Right? So it's that it's people's laws, and it's because God's there, you'll follow people's laws. But the third level, manamoy, is that you accept it's God's laws. There's God and there's his laws. So you're following the laws because they're his laws. Right? But that level there means you're accepting God, you're accepting his laws, you're following the laws, but for karma. Right? The material benefit. Then when it progresses, that one sees that that there's something beyond, it means you know about the soul. And you may there may be an inkling of the soul at pranamoy, you know, or something, but it doesn't mean it's not very well situated. But then when you get to the vijnanamoy, then you understand you're not the body and that you're the soul. And so therefore then the context of things will be looked at that. So it'll be more the vijnan about liberation. So that may be that at this point. Yes, does that make sense? Yeah. So that's used either by that's used by the impersonalists, of course, and like that. But it's also that's the platform of the devotees because they're practicing. They have an understanding of that, but it's because of it's devotees because of their understanding of anandamoy, the actual understanding. The impersonalists have some idea of anandamoy. They're trying to get to Brahman, but it's not really. It's just an inkling. It's not really something very serious. And so then when we get into the devotional process, then we'll see is that then we accept we're accepting, you know, we're performing these activities because devotees are doing. But then there comes to the point where we have faith, and we have faith, then we start to take up the process. Because it's Krishna's process, and from that we can develop love for Krishna. Now, when you see is that somebody then takes it more serious about associating with devotees, then it comes even deeper. Right? Then when they're willing to follow the practices of devotional service as a regular thing, right? Then that becomes, well, that's clever. That's really clever.
That's
why I put it. Yeah, because he said, I'm just checking the time, right? Oh, that is so clever.
You can also.
Oh, really? Yeah, you know, I can. Yeah. Okay. So. Yes. Then, well, we accept and we take it up. But now we're taking up the practices, but are we willing to give up the anarthas? So anartha nivritti means we're aware that the anarthas are there. Bhajana kriya we may not be so much aware, or we may be aware, of course, but we're not so focused on them. We're more focused on just the bhajan itself. So anartha nivritti, we're willing to give up these anarthas. And so then there'll be, you know, it'll come back and forth. Sometimes we do really well, sometimes not. But then when that faith that, you know, but in that, what are these anarthas? These anarthas are faith and other processes than bhakti. You know, the other goals than bhakti, other identities than bhakti, other knowledge than bhakti. So when we come to the point where it's just bhakti and knowledge about Krishna, that is actual knowledge. That's the actual process. And all other knowledge and processes, the goals that we want to gain are already contained within bhakti. That's when it brings us to anartha nivritti. Does that make sense? So that's why you see is that someone can waver in there, because you still have that 25%. So if you focus on the 75, then you'll move forward very nicely. But if you focus on the 25, that 25 can take up more space. You know? You can grow that. You may have less, means you cut down the amount of the volume to 25%, but it doesn't mean you can't cultivate within the 25. You know? Does that make sense? So that's why one is very careful about that, and that these things are appreciated. Otherwise, that's why we've been speaking strongly on the point about, it's about communities will make it happen, or management will make it happen, or if we're more culture, it'll make it happen, or if we have more money, it'll make it happen. No, it's just if you have more bhakti, it'll make it happen. Then bhakti includes those other things. You have an ability in these areas to you'll manage for Krishna. You have an ability to develop, you'll work in the community. You'll do all these things, you'll do it. But it's bhakti includes that, because it's bhakti that is what's reflected. If we say the spiritual world's reflected, where's the material knowledge in the spiritual world? It's all bhakti. So all the knowledge of, let's say, cooking and grammar and all these things, these are just to use for serving Krishna. They become reflected here. So thinking that, oh no, it's only with Sanskrit grammar you can know Krishna. No, it's those who know Krishna use Sanskrit grammar. Those who know Krishna cook. So in the interim state, we can use cooking to learn about and develop our attraction and understanding of Krishna. But it's not that the cooking's doing it. The cooking is the medium for the bhakti. The bhakti's doing it. The cooking's never going to do it. The management will never do it. Doesn't matter how much you collect, it still won't get you Krishna. You know, otherwise, Kuvera would be really, really advanced in spiritual knowledge. Right? Yeah, I mean, he takes care, he's the banker for the universe. You know, I mean, he's the banker's banker. You know, he's like that. He's such a banker, he doesn't even have to wear a suit. He just wears his dhoti and cheddar, and he's good. Who's distributing the money? No, the point is if you're pleasing Krishna, then it's Lakshmi who's distributing the money. Just Kuvera is the one that takes care of it for the demigods, because they have it and they think it's theirs, and so they give it to Kuvera to watch after. You know, it's just like it's your money, so you keep it in the bank. If it's Krishna's money, then you may keep it in the bank for Krishna to use it another time, or you may just use it for service to Krishna. You know, you don't even need a bank. So then it's going to bring you to that point where then you're steady. Right? So then at this point you have that faith and all this, and then the position of the Brajvasis then becomes a reality, that they have that kind of devotion to Krishna, that there's no karma, no jnana. It's just pure devotion. So you appreciate that. And so appreciating that, then there may be, you appreciate in general, but there may be specifics that you appreciate. You understand? But the point is, when you can't practice that. You can only practice the sadhana given by the acharyas. Does that make sense? And so then, in the beginning, then vaidhi means you're practicing the sadhana based on the rules. So it's because you're committed to the rules, either to not breaking the rules or to following the rules. Right? It means you have these two kind of, like you see these two focuses. Some people focus on not breaking the rules. Other people focus on following the rules. Right? Just like the four regular principles, when you take initiation, there's the four regular principles and the chanting of your japa. So some focus on not breaking the regulative principles, and they get their japa in. Others focus on the japa. You understand? So it's two different kind of mentalities. Like that. Same thing. It means to chant nicer, you don't break the regular principles. And the other is, if I don't break the regular principles, then I can chant. You understand? So they both work. It's just a matter of where the emphasis is. But the one thing is that the not breaking the rules will be slightly a bit lower, because it will be focusing on avoiding the negative rather than on the positive. And so then you'll get the problems come up from that if you extend it. That's where, unless people are moral, they can't be devotional. That can go that way. At the same time, the other, unless you're doing these devotional activities, then, you know what I'm saying? Like there's some, they say that, it's only chanting Hare Krishna. All these other things aren't actually there. So in the 24-hour kitchen, you have to be doing Hare Krishna. But Prabhupada said, 24-hour kirtan means it's about Krishna. So Mangal Arti is part of that. The japa is also part of that 24-hour kirtan. The Darshan Arti, the Bhagavatam class, is all part of that. The Noon Arti, like that. And then in between, when these things aren't going on, then you see the kirtans going on. That's the 24-hour kirtan that Prabhupada taught. So they're taking it, it's another thing called a kandanam. And so that, you see, it's big in the villages. And they've made that a big thing. So some people pick that up and say that, unless it's chanting Hare Krishna, it's not the real thing. But then they're missing the point. Then why the pastimes in Bhagavatam? Because they're Radha and Krishna are saying something other than Hare Krishna. Our Lord Chaitanya is talking to his devotees, or they're singing Hari Harai Namakrishna. Where is not Hare Krishna? So it becomes a problem. So they get stuck in that, in following the rules. In following, why someone else gets stuck on breaking the rules. Mm-hmm. So when one gets to the point where it's not about the rules, it's about the rule is showing you where the path is. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that it's showing what is the path of devotion. So it's the devotion that's what spontaneous devotional service is. It means now you see what's devotional. So you want to do what's devotional. And it happens to be following the rules, of course. So that's why it's all within sadhana bhakti. So sometimes it's not spontaneous devotional service. Or Raganuga Bhakti is not sadhana. It is sadhana. Because now you're following the sadhana because you like it. You're going to Mangal Arti because you like it. You, the taste is there for that. The appreciation is there for that. So that's why it's still within the mudra. The taste and the attachment are still there. But that's the higher stage. So once you're situated and you're regular, then you'll start to notice the taste, the effect of the spiritual. Then from that, then you get attachment, and then it will turn into Baba. So as you're following that path. That's why it says you're following the path of them. So we're following in their footsteps. It means we're following the rules in that, because that's all we see. Right? So in other words, their foot's there, we put our foot there, you just follow like that. But otherwise, it's what they're doing is what you want to do. Why are they walking that path? Where is it going? Right? It's going to Krishna. So therefore you're following them in their service to Krishna. Does that make sense? So it just naturally comes. If we stick to following properly, it'll just naturally move through these stages. Right? The taste will come. Then when the taste becomes strong, then you become attached to it. First you notice the taste. I want to do it. It tastes better. Right? Does that make sense? I could, be in the kirtan, or I could go outside and talk to friends. I'd rather be in the kirtan, right? So when the taste is there in the friends, then you'll do that. When the taste is there in the kirtan, then you do that. It's a matter of taste, right? Is that what it says? So that's then what you're following. So then, but then at some point you become attached to that taste. So you become attached to Krishna because that's where the taste is coming from. That will then, when that intensifies, that develops ecstasy, that's bhava. So at that point, then you can say, now there's no material considerations. So the anartha nivritti is complete in this context. So now one can practice that Raganuga by following in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. Because now you have the appropriate form and that situation and all that, now you can do that. Otherwise, before, it won't work too good. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that's why then Prabhupada's point out, we must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Braja, Vrindavan, is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. Right? So that's the point, is that that eagerness, that so we'll use favorable use of logic until the appearance of Bhava Bhakti. So that includes spontaneous devotional service, Raganuga. So the rag means that there's a taste like that, but not that one is just naturally following that. Does that make sense? It doesn't have the intensity. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of how much is there. It's just like, have you seen, it's a new thing they do, is they take water and then they put a super slight amount of flavor in it. You know? But it's not, let's say it's lemon flavor. It's not lemon juice, but it's slightly lemon flavored water. So that's Raganuga Bhakti. The spontaneous devotion. It's like there's that touch in there that you notice. But it's not lemon juice yet. Does that make sense? There's a distinction. So, yeah. In following the regulative principles of devotional service, there's a stage called anartha nivritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. Sometimes someone is found imitating such devotional love, but factually is not freed from anarthas or unwanted habits. Right? It has been seen that so-called devotees proclaims himself a follower of Nanda, Jashoda, or the gopis, while at the same time his abominable attraction for mundane sex life is visible. Such a manifestation of divine love is mere imitation and has no value. So this is an important point. It doesn't have a value at all. We can say, no, but it's in connection with Krishna, and this and that, and anything connected with Krishna. But Prabhupada speaking here, based on the authority, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out in Ragbhart Machandrika, which is about Raganuga Bhakti, that people like this, the Brajbasis, means the eternal associates of Krishna, they don't take such people seriously. Therefore, it has no value. If Krishna's associates don't take you seriously, what's the value of this so-called show of affection? Because it won't get you anywhere. They don't trust you. Because you're saying, oh yes, I'm advanced, but at the same time this other stuff's going on. So you say, yes, I'm there, I'm going to serve Radharani and do this and that, but at the same time, you may be doing other things. So you just don't trust. Does that make sense? So we have to understand that's why the Sahajya thing is so strongly, and then the Mayavad. It's just strong. It says you have the razor's edge devotional service. One side, the distraction will be impersonalism. The other side will be the sadhus. You know, so one is jnana, one is karma. Yes?
We see that this point of feeling, you know, it's been stressed recently, that you have to have feeling. It's better if you do. It's
yes.
Easier to perform bhakti.
Yeah, but they'll come any... means it's just like this. If I give you a really well-cooked preparation, you may have never had it before, you've heard about it, and it's done really well, and you taste it, and you like the taste. Now, do I have to inspire you to eat this? That's the point. So, the point is which comes first? Means there's the taste means you have a taste means it comes from tasting that thing. It says here, and favorable use of logic until the appearance of Bhava Bhakti. So it's a favorable use of logic. So in other words, logic is what's being used. You know that this is what you should do. So you do that. So you like doing what's logical. You like doing what's right. And it doesn't mean that there's not some taste there. But what's the volume that you call it taste? It's like the, you know, the lemonade. You know, it's like, yes.
Is it correct to think it's like you're leaving the town and you have somebody from the town in your life, and the person of the Javasi, they know what to do immediately, they will clean the place, take care of the animals, the vegetables, be nice between each other naturally. But the person who comes from the town, he will feel like shy, don't know how to do it.
Yes, yes. So you have to learn how to do it. That's the whole point, is that you're learning, but you still have to have the attitude first. Because you can't learn without the attitude. So that's why the first position is that of attitude. So, does that make sense? So, yes, but now, what does that mean? Okay, so for saying, the what did you say was the word? Taste?
Feelings.
Feelings. So if feelings is the point, feelings are going to come from taste. Right? Otherwise, feelings are going to come from doing the right thing in logic. So either way, feelings. But in any case, that means then, what? Because it says favorable use of logic. The rules of scripture and favorable use of logic. So then it's going to be either coming from rules of scripture and favorable use of logic. So what does that mean? Then you have to follow the devotional process. But it's not that you just sit down there and you're going to create this feeling.
What I meant more like, for example, some devotees, they have personal deities, they talk to their deities, they develop whatever relationships they have, same with the spiritual master, and sometimes they do that, and sometimes they don't feel like doing that, and they don't.
Yeah, so that's why, that's not Raga Nuga. Rag means you always want to do that, because it's about Krishna. So if sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, then the rules and regulations of scripture and the favorable use of logic is so that you at least do the standard. So let's say, okay, they're doing their puja, and at the same time they're talking to their deities. Now, they don't feel like talking to their deities, at least they should be doing the puja. But if now they don't feel like it and don't do the puja, then what's the point? Because then let us just take this example further. What happens if, you know, it's the end of the week and the wife asks about the, you know, this week's money and all that, and then he says, well, I didn't feel like going to work this week, so they didn't pay me. Then now are we going to, you know, are we really down with this? That, yeah, no, it's just feelings. Yeah, no, it's good to rule. I'm really, yeah, I can appreciate it like that. No, that's why I also didn't cook dinner tonight. I didn't feel like it. You know? Or you could extend it and say, but I feel like you should be going to work and making money. So then it is about feelings. You know what I'm saying? So the difficulty comes up is, that's why we have to be very careful of this Hajj thing. Because it's about just my feelings. But it's about, you follow the rules. You have the feeling that I want to do devotional service, this is what I want to do. And so, that's the feeling by which you follow the sadhana. And by following the sadhana, then anartha nibriti happens, and then one comes to one stable, and then that stableness in devotional service, then you'll see it's, you're stable in service, and then there's a little more. It sometimes will come back to there. But this thing is where it's devotional service or it's not devotional service, that's not stableness. That's what in the anartha, what I think it's called, what's it?
Anishta.
Yeah, it's anishta, but in the whole anishta bhajana kriya, you have thick thin. It means, you know, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. It's the second stage. Gana? Gana tarala. Yeah, it's just up, down, up, down. That's all it is. So, that's the point, is they're taking it. No, it's the feeling that's there. That's why you have to know what to focus on. Because that's what I'm meaning. These new things are the feelings, and it's all about the computer, that everybody's feelings. Then, where's devotional service? Where's the rule? Because it's feelings, it's not about authority. You say, Shastra says, no, but it's my feeling. So now your feeling becomes the authority. That immediately drops it down. And now, is that it drops it down to anamoy. Just bang. Now, if that feeling is, no, we should feel this together and do this together, now you're getting it, bringing the pranamoya. But as soon as it's about my feeling, it just drops it down because that's all it's about. You're getting a feeling out of it. Right? Now, you're following the right, the what you're supposed to do and getting a feeling. Now, that's good. Mm-hmm. So getting feeling, that's proper. But saying it's just about the feelings, because then you're following the path of whimsicality. As I feel, I do. When I don't, I don't. You're following that path. So raganuga means you're following the path of rag. Rag means attachment to Krishna. So I don't do it, that's not based on attachment to Krishna. I'm not doing it because I'm not attached to Krishna. So it's not raganuga. Raganuga means I always do something connected to Krishna. Or at least predominantly. That's why it's raganuga. Ragatmika means the heart of it is my attachment to Krishna. So that's prema. Prema is ragatmika. So before that, it's raganuga. We're following in the footsteps of those with rag. So it's raganuga. Like that. So when I'm following that on a regular basis, that's called steady. But when I do it and then the next day I don't, and then the next day I do, that's not raganuga. That's not steady. That's anishta bhajana kriya. Does that make sense? So that's why it's a science. So you can exactly pinpoint. Otherwise, people just throw out, oh, it's a feeling. You can't quantify feelings, so you can't actually know. And like that. No. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu can tell you exactly. That's why it's given. Otherwise, if it was that, the Sahajiyas would be the people. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Jiva Goswami describes about the three modes in a context of, like, the mode of ignorance is when you see all forms as harmful to you.
Okay.
And the passion is you see the forms as what you can enjoy.
Right.
That's why you see a variety in forms.
Okay.
And mode of goodness is to see the forms as they are, like, in a true perspective.
Okay.
In this context, the Mayavadis can be seen as in ignorance because they don't want any feelings.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the Sahajiyas goes a step higher in the passion. They see something that Krishna is there, but it's all about driven by their desire to enjoy.
Enjoy, yeah.
And then...
And goodness is then Vaidhi Bhakti.
So that's
That's interesting.
Vaidhi Bhakti, then one needs goodness.
Yes, goodness. And then from there you get the pure goodness where it's just about Krishna. Yeah. Because otherwise that taste can also be our taste, just that it makes us feel good, which is fine in the beginning. But the ultimate taste is that Krishna feels good. So there's a taste, but it's the taste about Krishna's pleasure. Well, here is that it pleases me, that's why I do it. It's in context of Krishna, so it's spiritual. But you get to, that's why pure unalloyed devotion, that's the difference. Pure devotion is, it's always connected to Krishna. The pure unalloyed devotion means it's always connected to Krishna and it's always just about Krishna's pleasure. That's the difference. That's what makes Braj unique. So it has to go beyond that, of just that you feel good doing it. You feel good doing those things that makes Krishna feel good. That's pure, that's Braj, that's the Brajabhat. So, good? Yeah. Okay. When one is actually spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis, there'll be found no trace of any mundane contamination in his character. Right? So that'll just go away. Because when you're situated in one, you don't have the other. Right? That's all. Because it's by volume. Right? So we're saying 75% of the anarthas have gone away, but then when it goes away 100%, then you can say it's like that, because they're 100%. Therefore, in the beginning, everyone should strictly follow the regulator principles of devotional service, according to the injunctions of the scriptures and the spiritual master. Only after the stage of liberation from material contamination can one actually aspire to follow in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan. Right? So we can follow in their footsteps, meaning in their mood. But the activities and seeing ourselves doing those activities, that you can't do until you're liberated. So it's very clear where that comes up. Does that make sense? So that's the point. So it just removes the sahajya position. So there's no space for mayavadis or sahajyas if you're pursuing pure devotional service. Srila Jiva Goswami. Because of following after the ragatmikas, the practicing raganuga bhakti, those practicing raganuga bhakti practice bhakti with no limitations. Right? So why is no limitations? It's that they're not doing it because the rule is limiting them. You understand? It doesn't mean they go outside the rules. That's how we like to interpret it, because that means now I'm the controller again. And why? Because then I'll enjoy doing that. It means I don't need the rules to guide me. Right? It's just like, let's say, okay, we have the bucket, and in the bucket is prasad. We don't know what prasad is. Right? Okay. But we know what a bucket is. So then I point over there, okay, you want to take some prasad? See that bucket over there? What's inside the bucket, that's prasad. Okay? So you're limited by the bucket. Because otherwise you might take other things. You know, because sitting over there, you might look around and, you know, go in the pantry and what's on. Oh, hey, this looks interesting. So the bucket limits you that you will take prasad. Because other things are boga. Does that make sense? So that's why it's called restrictions. There's limitations. Because without it, you don't know what is prasad. But now, once you have a taste for prasad, then you're looking for what's in the bucket. You don't care about the bucket. It's what's in the bucket. First one, you find the bucket, then what's inside you eat. The other ones, you're looking for prasad. It happens to be in the bucket. You understand? So those practicing Raga Nuga Sada and those practicing Vaidhi Sada externally look exactly the same. The one's practicing because they like the prasad. The other one practices because they're supposed to eat prasad. Both are eating what's in the bucket. But one is limited by the bucket. The other one is prasad. Prasad has no limitations. So that attachment to prasad, that has no limitations. You understand? So it's subtle. It's in that perspective. You know, just like we're seeing before, the impersonalism and the it's a perspective. That's why this subtleness, then you can tell the difference between non-devotional service, mixed devotional service, pure devotional service, and pure unalloyed. You have to be able to see these subtleties. So, therefore, we develop these subtleties in areas that we're able to appreciate. Right? And so, sadhana means logic, and so we're using that logic and rules and all that. So, within that context, then we're analyzing in that way.
What it means,
subtleties. She's asking what it means by subtleties.
Subtleties. Oh, subtleties. Why would you say subtlety?
She's wondering what it means.
Subtlety.
Yeah. That's what we were looking for. The translation. Yeah. Yeah, because in other words, English is just, roughly pronounced Latin. Well, French has a little bit more sophistication in this pronunciation of the Latin. So sometimes it's the same word, just that you have to have a different thing. Oh, okay. Sorry? Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned something about following after the ragatmikas. Following after the ragatmikas. So it means ragatmikas in the general sense or specific?
Ragatmikas means those who have love for Krishna.
So the general bhajavas is specific.
The point is that it's ragatmikas. Whether it's general or specific, the point is that it's because of their prema. Because you can't get to specific unless you get in general. It means, unless you're in the bucket, you can't distinguish between what's a cauliflower and what's paneer and what's a potato. You know, so first you have to be there in front of the bucket. So unless you're dealing with the generic mood of surrender of the Brajbasis, you can't deal in a specific. Okay.
Can I ask something? Because sometimes in the temple when the devotee, they want to do something and you know that it's not allowed, they have this bucket, this limitation, but they begin to lament and to said if you don't have that, you will not progress.
If you don't have which? Yes, yes. So the point is prashad's fine. What we're saying is the difference between we're supposed to take prashad and we like taking prashad. That's the difference. So the point is we like to take prashad, and if we like to take prashad, then we'll want to take prashad. So we will take prashad. The other one is we know we should take prashad because there's an alternative. We could be eating something that's not prashad. And so to keep us from doing that, you know, it's just like in, what is it, when they were in, I think it was San Francisco, the temple there. Occasionally, when it was time for class, Prabhupada had to go next door to the donut shop and get all the devotees. You know, because they would spontaneously go to the donut shop. So. And you have to get all the devotees, they come back, and then they have class. Yeah. So in other words, don't, if you're looking for a spot for the temple, don't make it next to a donut shop.
Now they have the devotee
donuts. Huh? Oh, there's devotee's donut shop, at least it's for sure. Still, yeah. You know, it's like here, you know, you see the, it's time for class and devotees are out back under the tree eating pizza, right? Yes, I'm saying it's Maha, so that's advancing. That was just a regular donut shop. Okay, this means there's no specific rule concerning the time at which they will give up dependence on the rules of Scripture. Right? So it's a spontaneous thing. It will just happen. It's not that it necessarily happens in everything at once. It just starts to happen. And then eventually that's the major aspect. Because you might find some areas are, some areas aren't. It's a gradual process. There is a limit to how long those practicing Vaidhi Bhakti should... Oh, is there a limit on to... how long those practicing Vaidhi Bhakti should depend on the rules? This verse answers. Bhava here means rati, or the stage of bhava bhakti, after sadhana bhakti. So that means you should practice the rules until you get to bhava. Though you may be, there may be the element of raganuga before that, at you know, but the point is it's still you're following the rules. But in general, the natural stage for rag to arise is at bhava, because then you can directly practice it. Before that, you can't. Right? You can appreciate those who are. Footnote 18. At the stage of rati, the devotee would not commit sin by his nature, and thus would not have to consider the rules of Scripture. However, his Vaidhi sadhana would influence his bhava and prema, coloring it with awareness of Krishna as the Lord. Right? So, therefore, at the point of bhava, they're not functioning because of the rules, they're functioning because of the taste. It's just a matter of a taste, you follow something. Just like, let's say, someone has, let's say, making some kind of aesthetic arrangements. You know, let's say like with colors or cloth or a combination. Right? Those who are very expert at it, it's a taste that they're following. It's not the rules. They just see that and that works together. So there's a particular taste they want to get. And when that combines, they'll say it's good. But much of the time, the people that are preparing those things, they're working by the rules. This color goes with that, and this goes with this, and this with that. And they'll put it all together. So technically, the rules is there, but there may be no taste in it. So then the person who sees it says there's no taste. Do you understand? That's on the material platform. You just follow the taste. Right? But we're talking about it's spiritual. It's the taste is that service to Krishna, that devotion to Krishna. That's the taste. It's not following rules is the taste. That's also a taste that you have from coming from backgrounds where you don't follow rules. There's a taste in not following the rules. So that's not the feelings that we're talking about. That's not the taste we're talking about. It's that you're comfortable following the rules, but within that you find taste. And so you're doing it because you like to. It's kirtan, you like doing kirtan, that's why you go. Others will go because you should go. It's the right thing to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. It is said, material piety and sin, which arise from the good and evil of this world, rules and regulations, cannot exist within my unalloyed devotees, bhava bhaktas, who, being freed from material hankering, maintain steady spiritual consciousness in all circumstances. Right? So you see that steadiness is there. So you see it already includes the next one. If you have taste, means you're already steady. If you have attachment, you already have taste. Right? So many things. Yeah, so it's that if you're steady, it means you're following the rules. Now it's Nishta Bhajana Kriya. That means you're associated with devotees, means you have faith. So each one is already contained. Yes. Yes, it's by Krishna's grace you have taste. Like that. So even he mentions on the material platform, gaining faith and that and the mundane, Krishna's still giving. But you're dealing on the mundane, so he reciprocates the mundane. But you deal in the spiritual, he'll reciprocate in the spiritual. Though who, being free from material hankering, maintains steady spiritual consciousness in all circumstances. Indeed, such devotees have achieved me, the Supreme Lord, who are beyond anything that can be conceived by material intelligence. Right? So, that's the point, is he's beyond whatever material intelligence can conceive. That's why using intelligence won't get you there. He's the source of good qualities, so using your qualities, is that going to give you? It's just like, I have a lamp, and I hold it up to the sky. That will reveal the sun? No. So just because I have a good quality doesn't mean it will reveal Krishna. But I'm using it to please Krishna. That will reveal Krishna. It means, in other words, Krishna reveals himself. So, yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-36. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. In performing sadhana bhakti, the Vaidhi bhakti practitioner will depend on scriptural injunctions and favorable use of logic until the appearance of rati. After the appearance of rati, he no longer depends on those things, right? Means, because we're interested in braj bhakti. So from the point of rati, from bhava, at that point, it's not about sadhana anymore. Right? It's about just following that moods and that of the residents of Vrindavan. So then it will develop in that way. Now, those who are Vaikuntha Bhaktas, when they get to this point, they're going to follow the rules and regulations. They're going to follow how nicely and how what focus and devotion that these advanced devotees have in that following the regulation. And they'll develop that Aishwarya to the point of prema. Does that make sense? So for us, we're following up to bhava. For those from Vaikuntha, they follow until prema. And at prema, it continues. They'd never stop. So this idea is, but then that's Vaikuntha. It's only Vaikuntha once you consider it as a problem once you get to bhava. So the rules aren't the problem. If you see it's just the rule and it's not about pleasing Krishna, that's a devotional problem. You know, even for Vaikuntha. Just because you follow the rule and it's not about Krishna, that won't get you to Vaikuntha. It will get you to heavenly planets. That's smarta. But because you're following the rules in the Kanista and Madhyama platform, that's not smarta. So you have to see what's the attitude, why it's there and everything. What's the basis of it? It's in support of bhakti, or bhakti is controlled by your rules and regulations. Which one's in control? That makes the distinction. Is that... Yeah? However, as soon as the greed manifests in him for attaining a bhava similar to that of the Brajavasis, right? Because this greed means itself. Means if someone has greed for money, does it go away? It's like it sometimes it's there, sometimes he goes to work, he has that greed, and sometimes he doesn't. No, he always has greed. So it's consistent, as I mentioned before. It is maintain steady spiritual consciousness. So there's no such thing as spontaneity on the devotional platform that's not steady. Right? Yeah. And he develops an inclination for rag bhakti. The practitioner of raganuga bhakti does not depend any longer on scriptural rules and logic, right? It's just the attachment to that rag. Thus, it is greatly superior. However, wherever that greed has appeared, it is understood that the person must have studied the scriptures in order to attain that greed. It is also necessary to study the scriptures in order to understand the proper sadhana for raganuga bhakti. So we study the scriptures, and from that, he may have appreciated that, and from that it's developed. But the point is it's from doing devotional service that it's developing. It's not developing because we're giving up rules. Right? Does that make sense? Just as, say, I'm following, it's about following the rule, or not breaking the rule. So how would not following the rule be superior? So it's not Vaidhi Bhakti at all. So it can't, how will that transform into rag? In a sense? Because the taste is not following the rule. You know? So it'll be weak. Now if not following the rule, you're attached to something that is connected. Like say you're doing kirtan and just keep going. The deities take rest and the kirtan keeps going. You know, then it's breaking the rule, but it's about taste for the holy name. Does that make sense? So then that's the prominent thing. There may also be an underlying that like breaking the rule and going until 1 o'clock in the morning. But the point is that it's about the name. And the other thing is very minor. And so if that absorption of the name is there, the other will go away. So rather than, oh, you know, I like not following the rules and we just chant and we don't have to. No, but it's the chanting. So that is just, they're absorbed in chanting. So whenever there's an opportunity to chant, they'll do that. Like the Goswamis, you know, Prabhupada says that they would sleep an hour and a half a day if they remembered. You know, so sometimes they'd be so absorbed they forget.
Could you please explain this last point that it mentions that if you need to study the scriptures in order to understand the proper sadhana for raganuga bhakti?
Yes. So what is sadhana? Means unless you understand the sadhana for raganuga bhakti, because raganuga bhakti is within sadhana. And then when it goes beyond, that's only from bhava. So unless you're on the platform of bhava, you don't have to worry about the practices that are beyond sadhana. Sadhana means until you're liberated. So until you're liberated, then you follow sadhana. Now that sadhana may be vaidhi or it may be rag. But the basic thing is it being vaidhi until bhava is not a problem. Some try to make it that it's a problem. It's not a problem at all. That's just how you get to bhava. But once you get to bhava, now if it's about the rules and regulations, about the vaidhi, now it's a problem. But until bhava, it's not a problem. If it comes earlier, great. But if it doesn't, you know, it's just like... when does a kid, at what age does a kid attain proficiency in, let's say, music? You know? They're early, mid-teens or something like that. Well, they're quite good. Now, let's say there's a kid who's 6 years old, who's, you know, one of the best in playing mridanga. It's not a problem. But you won't say that's the standard. So you don't say now, you know, unless any kid by 6, you know, is expert in mridanga, then, you know, he's useless. That wouldn't be the thing. So to try to say no, unless you're practicing rag, you know, by this, by, you know, in the neophyte stage, then it's not, That's what has that got to do with anything? Where does that standard come? Who made that standard? See, as you see here, Jiva Goswami is mentioning Baba. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning Baba. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is mentioning Baba. They all three mentioned Baba as the point where Raghunuga Bhakti started. So, but they also, if it happens before, fine. But the point is, this is where it starts. So this whole idea that this, no, it's before that, that's not, the Acharyas aren't saying that. We have to be very clear on that. It can happen before, but it doesn't mean that it's standard. Standard is you follow the rules and regulations, and you know, you study, you learn, you understand, you practice, so you know what you're doing. Because the point is, say, no, but having knowledge and all that, that's gyan. So then the Mother Jashoda and the elder gopis, after the Trinavarta demon pastime, they took Krishna and then bathing him and all that, then the dust from the hooves of the calves, and then they did all mudras and nyasas on Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada was saying, these technical points, before, just the simple villagers knew that. Now you have to have like a, you know, highly elevated smarta to be able to do that stuff. But before, they just did all this stuff. Yeah? They knew all that stuff. Right? So the point is, this, it's always there. The point, the difference between prema, bhava, rag, vaidhi, you know, shraddha, and lack of that, that it's just a matter of the how much faith is there. That's what it is. It's not something else. This thing's, oh, if I read about the gopis, that's rag bhakti. That has nothing to do with rag bhakti. Literally. It has nothing to do with rag bhakti. You know what I'm saying? You know, let's say, I just eat food all day. Does that make me someone who's, you know, super sophisticated and refined in food? So just because I read about the gopis all day, does that make me one who appreciates the mood of the gopis? No. They're different. And that's why you have to read, study the scripture. It is also necessary. He uses the word necessary. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Necessary to study the scriptures in order to understand the proper sadhana for Raghunuga Bhakti. Otherwise, people come up with a whole, you know, unlimited, you know, no limitations of how to not follow the rules and regulations. Because we have to understand, razor's edge, one side from there to eternity is sahajiyas. Razor's edge on the other side is from there to eternity is impersonalist. So that means you can come up with these things easy. They're a dime a dozen. You know, people feel so superior and everything because of that. Now, what is that? That's ego. And well, what do we say? What's one of the qualities of the of pure devotees? Nir matsaranam. No ego. So therefore, is this, oh, we're better because we're doing this. No, you're not. That's not devotional service. There may be activities of devotional service, but the attitude's not devotional, so don't make the mistake. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitya Gaura Prabhupada ki.